Blog Talk Radio.
But I tell you, gentlemen, I had no idea I was broadcasting.
All you had to do was to flip this key down and you're on the air.
But I was nowhere near that key. And if anyone did flip it down, it was an accident.
Hello, behind the scenes at TCS again, right? Hey, welcome aboard. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Feels like it's been a while since we talked. We were off on Monday, Veterans Day, so if I neglected to mention it last week, a very grateful salute to all those who have served or are serving to protect our freedoms. We really are indebted to you. We also missed 11, 12, 13. That's not going to come around anytime soon, right? Another never? Hey, a busy day, the Free Flow Pop Culture Convo, everything from the Obamacare fix. Is it a nix? What's happening up in Toronto with that crazy crack-smoking, binge-drinking Mayor Rob Ford? We'll find out more about that. Magic 8-Ball on the shelf, hard to believe. Alec Baldwin stalker in the can, all of that coming up. If you're listening live, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east, feel free to join us at 347-857-4505. Also, we can tweet and talk at the same time at AB Writes. We'll get to all that. Also, the Inspiration to Action Challenge. We've been doing it so long, some people are actually inching towards their goals. We'll dip into the mailbag. I'm not one of them, but we'll talk. First, though, it's Friday on the cusp of the weekend, a great way to kick things off with some music to get us going. We're going to chat with Matt Williams from the rising Canadian country trio Western Avenue. First, let's sample their songs. This one is their current U.S. single. It's called Wherever You Are. Western Avenue, opening up the Friday edition of the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show.
Sometimes I feel like, where to soar? Scattered on the wind, together for a moment, and carried away again. Every time you leave my side, I stumble in shades of blue, and the only thing I think about is getting back to you. I wanna be
sound of Western Avenue, wherever you are, on the Amy Beth Arkoui Show, and we're happy that Matt Williams from that trio is here today. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having us, Amy.
A pleasure. Let's talk a little bit about your sound and how you guys got started. How did you meet each other and get started on this journey together?
Yeah, for sure. So the three of us, we met up in 2006. And up here in Canada, there was an amazing Canadian songwriter, Tara Lynn Hart, who had a school, like a music academy around where we lived. And so Nikki was coming down and taking vocal lessons from Tara at the time, and needed a band because she had a show booked at this one club up in Peterborough, where kind of where we're from. So she was asking Tara if she knew any musicians, and Tara recommended Keith, and Keith in turn called myself, and the three of us got together, and we started jamming, and it was evident right from the very start that we had a special chemistry. Just the way our voices kind of blended with each other was pretty cool, and we really haven't looked back since then.
And I know Nikki and Keith have since gotten married too, is that right?
That is correct, yeah. So I'm the weird third wheel now.
So how does that work for you? Is it like pitted two against one, or when you're in the band, it's all each voice for themselves?
It's actually, yeah, it's pretty much everyone from themselves. So it's pretty it's pretty cool. We've had to work on that over the years, but it's pretty cool. I remember Keith. That was all he wanted to do. As soon as he met Nikki, he actually fell in love with her right away. So it was pretty been a pretty amazing journey, and I'm sure we'll probably write a book one day about some of the stuff that we've experienced.
Yeah, it
together.
Sounds like it could be a very interesting story. Were you part of, like, egging them on and bringing them together, playing matchmaker, or, you know?
Actually, not really, but there was a lot of stuff going on in the backstory there, too, which was pretty cool. So, yeah, one day, you know what, we'll write a book, and I'll let you know when it comes out.
All right, a little teaser. I appreciate it. Okay, so talk to us. It's very interesting, because we've talked to a few Canadian country music artists. It seems like that it's a burgeoning... Or maybe there always has been a Canadian country scene. I guess there has been. I mean, people like Terry Clark and that, you know, have transitioned over, become big stars in the U.S. as well. So that's a pretty rich heritage, yes, in Canada?
Yes. Oh, hands down, yeah. Canadian country music has lived on forever. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, and people like Terry Clark and Shania Twain really, you know, made a mark for Canadian musicians in Nashville, too. So it's something that we're hopefully following suit, and it's a pretty pretty strong community up here.
Well, is that your goal, to journey down to Nashville? And I guess you've been there somewhat to perform or get to know some of the ins and outs, yes, of Nashville?
Yeah, hands down. Yeah, hands down. That's actually 2014, the summer of 2014. That's our goal, is to get down and do a bunch of shows and hopefully go across the states and tour.
Great, terrific. So let's talk about your influences. There are a lot of country groups now that have also are on the scene. Of course, Lady Antebellum, Little Big Town. You have Sugarland. I mean, what is that? You kind of modeled that. Maybe your aspirations for success after, but not necessarily your sound. But what are your influences in terms of your sound?
In terms of our sound, it is that kind of Lady Antebellum, Gloriana kind of sound that we were looking for. We also we're all huge 70s and 80s rock fans too, so we love bands like Journey and Def Leppard and Bon Jovi. So our sound, we really wanted that, you know, the catchy verses with the sing-along arena rock choruses. That was our goal going into create our last EP, and it turned out really well. And we can't wait to get back into the studio here pretty soon.
Very cool. And, you know, it's interesting because country music really has evolved over the years. It really is a very accessible genre. It's one that I think a lot of people, you know, in the old days would say, oh, country, oh, it's, you know, just twangy and all that. But it really has encompassed a lot of different sounds because of people like you saying, you know, we're influenced by a wide swath of music. And that's the beauty of music, too, is that, you know, sometimes you label and you pigeonhole. That's good for marketing, perhaps, but it's not so good for the fans or for the artists.
Oh, for sure, yeah, and you're even seeing that right now with bands like Florida Georgia Line and Nelly teaming up. So you're getting like hip hop influences into country music now,
yes.
which is pretty cool. And it's, you can't really classify country as this country anymore, which is, I think it's evolving and growing, and it's something that we're pretty proud to be a part of.
Yeah, definitely. What about your process? I mean, there are three of you, and we joked about, you know, having a married couple and the third wheel, but as three people. How does it work in terms of not so much division of labor, but division of vision? I mean, how do you have a lot of arguments over which direction you're going to go? How do you pick your songs, writing your songs, creating all of that? How does that work for you?
Yeah, well, we use a great Canadian lyricist, Dave Woods, quite a bit up here. So Dave and Nikki work as a team really well together. So that's one thing, kind of where the process starts for some of the songs that we create. Also, like myself, I usually come to the table with full songs ready to go and then just, you know, expecting some, you know, production input. And Keith is the same way too. So, and we all kind of work in different aspects to get where we're going. And then for our debut EP, we had a bunch of songs that we had been playing live for a while and really just honed in and decided to pick, basically on the EP that we did, there was a song that, you know, tugs at every single emotion, which is pretty cool. And that was something that we were really proud of. And we think it turned out pretty well.
So you do a little, so there's like a group meeting or jam session to figure out what's going to go in, what's going to go out, that kind of thing. So there's some haggling,
yeah,
selling,
pretty much.
You know, negotiations, yeah. So it's,
exactly,
you get promises,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
If it doesn't make this one, maybe it'll make the next one, that kind of thing, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, for sure, yeah. And there's a bunch of songs that we had wrote for our debut EP that are still in the works right now. We're actually, we're just back in the studio right now. We just finished up touring behind our release that came out in February. And, yes, we're back in the studio right now and working on some singles that are coming out in 2014. So we're pretty pumped about it.
Very cool. What's on your wish list? Who's on your wish list for people, groups, bands, artists that you'd like to play with?
Oh, it's all over the map. I know all of us would actually really love to play with Lady A. We've actually been called the Canadian Lady Antebellum, which is a huge compliment. And there's such huge influences on us. And I remember because we started playing in 2006, and I think their sound really came out around 2007, somewhere in that area. And immediately we started listening to their songs and picked them up, and we were playing them right from the get-go in some of our shows. So it was really cool. So definitely Lady Antebellum. And then just like even some of those, you know, the rock bands, I think would be pretty cool. Def Leppard and Bon Jovi, I think that would be, you know, unreal to team up with them down the road someday. So I think that would be pretty cool.
Well, Bon Jovi, of course, has, you know, little country influences. He had that big single with Jennifer Nettles and an album that I think pretty much was very country influenced. So there's definitely some interest, certainly on his part, and I guess the whole band's part, to get more into country music. How much is planning and how much is serendipity? You know, you're planning out things in terms of what your next step is going to be, or do you let's see it unfold before your eyes in terms of your career?
Yeah, it's mostly like we have a plan. We have a 3-year plan right now, and we're in the we started basically last April of 2012. So we're right on cue with that, where we want to be right now. The next thing is that we really wanted to accomplish this year was getting down to you guys in the States and releasing a single, and we did that on September 3rd. And the response has been overwhelming for us. So we feel like we're on the right path. And Yeah, we feel like we're on the right path, and we're getting ready to record some stuff for next year and hopefully release another U.S. single.
Very cool. We're talking with Matt Williams from the rising Canadian country trio Western Avenue. Matt, tell us a little bit about the juggling act. I know with musicians particularly, there's a big juggling act in terms of their own personal lives, of course, being on the road, but also the writing life. I mean, do you write while you're on the road? Do you have a separate time where you say, okay, we're going to record, we're now in the studio recording, so we're concentrating on that part of it, and then we're on the road, we're just concentrating on performing, or how does it overlap for you?
Yeah, well, the gaps, we always try and find the gaps and close those gaps. So if we're not on the road, then we're writing. If we're not in the studio, we're, you know, working on our live show kind of thing. So it all really depends on everything's, you know, it's a shifting landscape. So we really have to adapt. But for me myself, I love, you know, going out before shows and just going for walks, and that's when, you know, some chorus ideas will come to myself, and then usually go back with the acoustic guitar or a piano and kind of work things out. So that's kind of my writing style. But it really differs. It's all over the map, but it's something that we continue to work on, and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, it already is amazing for you. How do you like Canada being in the news in a not such hot way this last couple of weeks with your Toronto mayor?
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, not going to lie. I'm actually, I live in the pretty much the greater Toronto area. So, yeah, it's been front page news up here, and I'm sure it's been front page news in the States too.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. But, yeah, some of the stuff that goes on, I remember as soon as he got elected, it was kind of a gong show up here. So
now, was he always? I mean, we've had. By the way, don't feel bad, because we've had our share of political buffoons down here, as you probably know. And sometimes it's hard to get them out. There was a guy in San Diego. He did finally agree to resign. Apparently, if they don't resign, it's really hard to oust them, as you're finding out now. But I mean, was he always this political buffoon when he got elected? People know that he was like this, or he hid it well?
I think he had a reputation as that, but it was hidden from the press until all this stuff kind of came out, and it's just been an unraveling story ever since. Yeah, but it doesn't speak well when your city's in the news on a global scale for all the wrong reasons.
Well, everybody knows Toronto is a cool place, and Canada has a great reputation. That's why we find it so funny, because, as I said, we do have, so many political characters in our landscape too. So don't feel bad, but it's very strange, and it's sad to watch somebody unravel. I mean, obviously he's got some issues he's got to deal with, but the first thing to do would be to go resign and go deal with them. That would be my advice.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
These guys,
and
like,
one thing
on.
I heard too. I don't know if he actually collects a salary. I believe his salary goes to charity every single year,
really?
So they can't even really threaten to not pay him or do that thing. So he really has to leave on his own accord, or else, there's probably a good chance that he's going to be there for a long time.
Be there. Well, they were voting apparently, or today, or they are voting. I heard a little bit of this, having a hearing to try to divest him of some of his duties, I guess, and have other people handle it, because I guess they feel he's in control, but they really can't force him to leave. I mean, that was similar to what happened in San Diego over the summer. This guy Filner, who was had all these sexual harassment allegations, he was refusing to leave. He finally did agree to leave, but I don't think it would have been easy. I guess they have a repeal process, but it would take a very long time, to vote him out and all that. So once they're in, they're in,
guess.
A regular job, not so much, but politicians.
I know, it really makes you shake your head.
It sure does. I mean, they're giving rock and roll stars a bad name, because, rock stars, they used to always say, like in the 70s, they'd throw like furniture out the window of hotels and all that kind of stuff. But now politicians are the bad boys. Listen, Matt, you guys are doing a great job. I know you're going to have a terrific future. I'm looking forward to that whole backstory being told, because I think there's a real, whereabouts story here on this show. I'm sure there's some juicy details you're not telling us, but maybe you'll unveil them in your songs and later in a book or a movie or something.
Definitely.
But you've got some great sound, and say hi to Nikki and Keith for us. Western Avenue. We want to wrap up with one of your other songs called Highway. Do you have a little preamble for this one?
Yeah, this was our first Canadian release back in July of last year. And we decided to release the song first because it's about following your dreams and really just putting one foot in front of the other and making things happen for yourself. So a lot of people have related to this song, and we hope you enjoy it.
I'm sure we will, and you're definitely putting your dreams together. Matt Williams, a pleasure talking with you. Much success. Come back and see us again.
You too, Amy. Take care.
Take care. It's Western Avenue Highway on the Amy Bethurkowi Show.
Some people fall in.
Riding that highway. Western Avenue on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. What a great sound they have. I'm sure they're going to have a great future. Thanks again to Matt Williams and also his compadres, Nikki English and Keith Robertson. Western Avenue, find out more at their Twitter account, Western Avenue 4, or you can hit them up at their website, westernavenue.ca, because they're in Canada. It's westernavenue.ca. What a great sound. I'm sure we'll be hearing more from them and about them. I'm intrigued by that backstory, aren't you? Because, you know, we're all about story here. Hey, it is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, 347-857-4505, the Inspiration to Action Challenge updates, and the Free Flow Pop Culture Convo coming up next.
Every day I wake up, pour myself a cup of that rich Folgers aroma. The best part of waking up is the doo-wop, doo-wop, then all I do. The mountain goat aroma always coming through. Oh, the best part of waking up, Folgers in your cup. Now I'm right in harmony with that doo-wop, doo-wop, diddy.
Snap, what a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You may clap, rap, clap, clap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or the clock's not wound. Geese cackle, feathers tickle, belts buckle, beef pickle, but crackle makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies. I insist that pop's the sound. The best is missed unless pop's around. You can't stop hopping when the cereal's popping. Pop makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies. Kellogg's best to you.
That was good. What else is on?
Guess we're on. Hey, welcome back. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, 347-857-4505, if you're listening live Friday. Or hit us up on Twitter at AB Writes, Free Flow Pop Culture Convo. We talked a little bit about that in battled Mayor Rob Ford up in Toronto. He is really unraveling before our eyes, and some of it is a big joke, but it's a serious situation. This guy needs help. And he kind of reminds me, he looks physically a little bit like Chris Farley, remember? The late great comic comedian and comic actor from Saturday Night Live and so many movies. This guy can implode. He needs help. Somebody, he's got too many enablers around him, I guess, so we shouldn't all be scoffing and making fun of him. He needs to get out of office, and of course, for the people of Toronto, besides being an embarrassment, the work isn't really getting done. So, yeah, somebody's got to talk to him. He needs a real stern talking to. Apparently there's some family issues. I guess he came from a very privileged, wealthy family. There's always been enabling. There's a lot of addiction in the family. But rather than sit on the sidelines and psychoanalyze, I would just like to see him get help. I mean, really, just get some help, guy, and get back to business. Speaking of getting down to business, in this country we had the big Obamacare so-called fix for those of us, and I'm one of them, in the single-payer or individual market, whatever they call it. Get those cancellation notices. Not really cancellation. You get canceled, but you do get a conversion. Here's the deal. Nobody thought to remedy it when they made that $1,000 page bill to include the fact that the insurance companies, when they convert you, can't double, triple, and sometimes, you know, quadruple your premiums. That's the reason why people are upset. Not that they're going to get better service, quote-unquote, but that suddenly you have to pay so much more, which kind of kicks the affordable out of the Affordable Health Care Act. And, of course, they have issues with the website and so forth. I don't think what President Obama did yesterday and what Congress is trying to do today, which is to ostensibly say, if you liked your plan, you can, in fact, keep it because I said it. So now the insurance companies can go ahead and reissue those canceled policies. The problem is they can, but they won't. It's like saying to somebody, yeah, you can order a burger at Veggie Village if they'll serve it to you. They're not going to serve it to you. So forget it. It's gone. It's a Band-Aid that is really not going to work. So I just don't get it. It's like caving to political pressure when it's not going to work, and they should have either been honest about it or they really should have put the insurance company's seat to the fire back when they were constructing the legislation. They didn't do it, and you know why they didn't do it. And anybody who read my articles, I covered this extensively when I was still working at News Junkie Post, knows it's because both Republicans and Democrats are in the pocket of the insurance companies, and that's why we don't have national health care, and we won't. I mean, look at the people on the Democratic side who were involved in crafting this ridiculous legislation. Baucus, Bayh, Lieberman, people, their wives were involved either with jobs or big board positions at insurance companies. They're not going to let the insurance companies take a hit. You watch. You'll see what the profits of the insurance companies a year from now are going to still be through the roof. That's my prediction. We'll see what happens, but it doesn't look like a great fix. Still hanging in there with Obama. I know he's doing what he can do. He's trying to do something that is historic, that has never been done before, and he's getting all kinds of pushback. It's ugly. It's in the growing pain stages. Let's hope for the best. But he's always going to have opposition on it, no question about it.
We members of the Tea Party are sick of how we get pushed around now.
Get pushed around.
If we increase the debt ceiling in Reading, we are going to drown now.
Going to drown.
We want to make a deal or just watch us shut the government down now.
Government
and
down.
We'll defund, fund, fund until Obamacare is taken away. We're blackmailing D.C. with our brand of populist insurrection.
Populist wreck.
If Obamacare helps poor people, that interferes with natural selection. We're cheered by Democrats across the aisle who have midterm elections. And we'll have fun, 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 putting slogans on our t-shirts today.
Fun, 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 putting slogans on our t-shirts.
Wee-wee.
Are we just crybabies? We're gonna find out.
We're gonna fight against a bigger government. Yes, that is our mission.
That is our mission.
Health insurance that's affordable to millions gets our strong opposition.
Strong opposition.
In the Tea Party, stupidity is called a pre-existing condition. And we'll defund, fund, fund as we sell the same old story.
Shun, shun, shun,
big government for glory.
Fund, fund, fund till we shut down the whole U.S. of A.
Capital steps is only they can sum things up on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Really, lots of problems in Washington, as usual. 347-857-4505, or hit us up on Twitter at AB Writes. Francisco in the Twitter feed says, they should shut down the Obamacare. It's not working. Well, it's not working yet, Francisco. Let's give it a chance. You know, remember, Medicare didn't work too well when they first started, when they revised Medicare, when they revised the prescription drug laws. All of those things were cumbersome. So I'm willing to say let's give it a chance. Surely this website business and the glitches they have there are not good. But, you know, give it time. Let's see if it works out. Let's see if these things can be ironed out. I don't think the fix yesterday is going to be the answer, but that's another whole story. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, speaking of people who are on the losing end of things, speaking of Canada, boy, a lot of Canadians in the news. This Canadian publicist / aspiring actress convicted yesterday of stalking Alec Baldwin and his wife. Is in jail now for 7 months. She got 30 days the day before for contempt of court because she kept heckling during the trial. You know this story, right? I mean, Alec Baldwin apparently went out with this woman once a few years ago, met her back in 2000 while he was still married to Kim Basinger on a movie set. Then they reconnected a few years, just recently, 2010, something like that, before he was married, but I guess dating his wife at the time. So he dated her briefly. She claims it was a torrid affair. He claims not. It sounds like there probably was a one-night stand involved. He probably made her all kinds of promises. She's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, so she took it to the extreme and built up this relationship in her head, sent him all kinds of emails, stalked him, followed him around in his apartment house, his house on Long Island, and harassed his wife, too. I mean, it's just crazy. She wants, her lawyer said, before the judge ruled that she did, in fact, stalk and harass them, her lawyer said outside court one day, she's just looking for closure. She wants to acknowledge they had a relationship. That's her whole point. Well, you got closure. It's called he got married and had a baby with someone else. I mean, how loud does the door have to slam? It's ugly. I'm not saying it was nice. He may have treated her horribly and all of that, but this happens in life. You have to move on. She needs counseling, and she was offered a plea deal that involved counseling and a restraining order. She didn't take it because she wanted to go to court to prove, quote-unquote, they had a relationship. And, by the way, she wants a reality show. I mean, I think that's what it's all about. She wants attention. She was a failed actress. She wanted to hitch her star or her wagon to the to Alec Baldwin's star so she could somehow become famous that way. It didn't pan out, and now she wants to be in this, you know, the social buffoonery arena known as reality TV you watch. She'll be angling for that. But it's not going to work. Not going to work. Also, apparently, I was distressed to find this out last week. I don't know about you, but the Magic 8 Ball is not in the Toy Hall of Fame. Did you know they have a Toy Hall of Fame? Yeah, they've had one for about 10 years now. And this year, they let in two new inductees, Chess and the Rubber Duck. Chess and the Rubber Duck are now in the Toy Hall of Fame. They beat out Clue, Bubbles, Army Men, and the Magic 8 Ball. I would have thought the Magic 8 Ball would have been in there a lot sooner. It's just interesting. They say they have to be relevant, withstand time, and have some kind of cultural or educational purpose. So some of the past inductees include Barbie, of course, Crayola Crayons, the Radio Flyer Wagon, Roller Skates, Lincoln Logs, Mr. Potato Head, Slinky, Raggedy Ann, but not Raggedy Andy. I don't know how that works. The Easy Bake Oven, Lionel Trains, Candyland, Cardboard Box. Cardboard Box is in there. Jack in the Box, G.I. Joe, Rocking Horse, Scrabble. Playing Cards, The Game of Life made it, but no sign of the Magic 8 Ball. I mean, that's a standard. It'll get there eventually, don't you think? I would guess. I mean, I don't know. I would think it would make it in there, but. You know, there's no I'm stalling now because we're looking. Do we have the setup, Trudy? I guess we don't have the setup. Okay, forget it. We were going to play a song, but it's not. We can't find it, so it's not going to happen. So I should just still filibuster. Okay, never mind. Anyway, I'm hoping maybe next year it'll make it in there. The Viewmaster. Oh, yes, I remember having those as a kid. Oh, boy. I'm dating myself now. It's good when you date yourself because then you don't have to worry about who splits the check. Ba-bum-bum, bum, here all week. 347-857-4505 is our number. Hey, listen, the Inspiration to Action Challenge is going on, and we have been doing it so long that I'm getting letters from folks who say they are actually meeting their goals. No kidding. But Tina writes in. She says, I am close to meeting my first goal, and don't laugh, she writes. It's organizing my scrapbooks. I have about 26 of them. Well, you know what? I'm not laughing. I'm not scoffing. If you can organize your clutter, I laud that. I think that's a wonderful thing. good for you, Bettina. And Dolores writes in that she has started. She's at Lexington. She said, I outlined a book, and I am going to finish it by next year at this time. Well, good for you, Dolores. You're on. Good luck with it. Keep going. If you're reaching your goals, that is terrific. I'd love to hear about it. Please let us know at the website, amybetharkowee.com. If you have any creativity coaching questions, that's where to head as well. By the way, you can start at any time. But if you haven't started it yet and you're saying, hey, I thought about it, it sounds interesting, just start now. It's like from where you are. Start from where you are and just keep going and do the best you can. The way that it works each day, just come up with an old-fashioned notebook like we did with the journaling challenge and write down one thing that brings you joy, one thing that inspires you, one thing for which you are grateful. We weaved in an act of kindness that you have bestowed upon someone or someone bestows upon you, and then get set to write down three goals that you think you can achieve in, say, a three-month period, and then break down each of those goals into 3 to 5 action steps and just get started. So get started whenever, wherever you are. And please, if we can help you out, I'd be happy to do so. And if you'd like to get a shout-out for your progress or your completion of those goals, hey, I want to hear that too. So good luck, and thank you. I'm very gratified when people say it's working for them, because that's what it's about. So hit us up at the website, amybetharkowee.com. Also, that's the place to go if you have a story to tell, always on the prowl for authors and musicians, filmmakers, social crusaders, theater impresarios, you know, and the media maven types, people who like to dish hot topics in the news with us. Movies, TV, that sort of thing. We're booking already for the new year. Yeah, we got a few interesting shows coming up in December, and then we're ready for 2014. Get set. It's all about stories, and if you've got a good one, and I know you do, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, 'cause there's a million things to be. You know that there are, you know that there are, you know that there are, you know that there are. know that there are.
Hey, come on, turn up that radio.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking, come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die. My, my.
That was a lot of work, but then we ran back to the hotel, changed our clothes, and we went shopping.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure. Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again. The lights are
much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, so go downtown, where all the lights are bright. Downtown, waiting for you tonight. Downtown, you're gonna be alright now. Can't forget all our troubles, forget all our cares, so go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. Don't wait a minute more. Downtown, everything's waiting for you.
Clark on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, celebrating her 81st birthday. Happy birthday, Betula Clark, one of the quintessential songstresses of the 60s and that groovy sound. Boy, she's still going strong, I think. I don't know if she retired now, but some years back she transitioned into cabaret and then Broadway. I believe she was in Blood Brothers with David and Sean Cassidy. Wow, interesting. You talk about a trippy road back to the past, blast from the past, but really great. And it's wonderful when artists evolve. I mean, it's such a tough thing to do, especially in the music business, which is so youth-oriented, to kind of reinvent yourself and show that you have staying power and versatility. So those folks that can do it, I applaud them. And thank you, Petula Clark. I hope she's doing well and left behind, really hasn't left behind. She's here, but, I mean, given us a great legacy of great music. So good stuff. Downtown also, Sinatra doing That's Life for all the folks who are muddling through the healthcare debacle. I got somebody on the Twitter feed, not happy. A few folks are not happy. Marcus says, don't like being called a loser by that MIT guy. Yeah, there's an MIT professor who helped craft the law who has been out. I don't think he's doing anybody any favors when he talks about the notion that they always knew there will be winners and losers, and the losers are the people that are getting all the cancellation letters. Nobody wants to be called a loser, and then you have to pay more money for it. It's not good. It's not good. But carry on we must. Let's just let it go. Let's just see how it works out. Let it play out. See what fixes can be done. And let's face it, we're all going to have to pay a little more money. That's just the way it goes. So it's not good. I'm not happy about it either. But getting hysterical over it and casting blame is just not the way to go. I wish the Republicans would help out. I wish they would offer some solutions along the way. They kept talking about repealing and defunding and shutting it down. But they never really offered any reasonable alternatives, not to mention the fact that this plan with the mandate fixed into it was a Republican plan many years ago crafted by the Heritage Foundation and adopted by Mitt Romney in Massachusetts, and apparently it's working there pretty well. They say they have 98% or so people covered, and that also had some growing pains, not the popular sitcom, back when it got implemented too. So I say give it a chance. Let's hang in there. It'll get worked out, and hopefully more people will be covered and get the coverage that they need. Because, yeah, it's not good to have a policy that isn't worth it. They should really, you know, I always used to say there was a John Grisham novel that was really about this, the idea that insurance companies would dupe people into buying policies, and then as soon as they got sick would kick them off. And I thought it was fiction until I did some research. It's not fiction. So any insurance company that does that really should have always been penalized. They should have had to pay back all the money with interest that the person put into it. So it's a scam. It's like a legalized scam that we all buy into, pay money until you need it, and then we're not there to help you. Now, obviously, there are people that do need it, and they do get coverage, and they should, and that's what it's about. And it's out of a social contract that we all make with each other that I'm willing to pay it, and if I don't need it, knock on wood, somebody else needs it, they should have it. I mean, that's really what it's all about. Think of it that way. Let it sort itself out. I think it might be good. You know, I've always said, you know, let's hang in there, take your vitamins. Although vitamins don't work either, they say. Hey, it's Amy with Arkwee Show. Still time for the Free Flow Pop Culture Combo, 347-857-4505. And we're on Twitter at AB Writes.
Let me ask you a question.
and they try to sock it to you in the name of the Lord. They're gonna teach you how to meditate, read your horoscope, cheat your faith. For the most hell with hate, come on, get on board. Talking about you and me, the games we were playing. Now wait a minute, look around, tell me what you see. What's happening to you and me? God grant me the serenity to just remember who I am. Whoa, cause you're giving up your fantasy for your pride and your vanity. Turn your back on humanity. Oh, and you don't give a
Yeah, that was the song we were going to play before with the Magic 8-Ball. The Games People Play, a classic from Joe South and Eddie Floyd's Knock, Knock, Knock on Wood. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Speaking of music, we're getting ready for the Grateful Bounty. It's coming up Monday, November 25th. It will air live at noon and be available thereafter for podcast, as all the shows are. What we're doing is fielding your requests and dedications for songs that make you feel happy, that bring you joy, songs that you're thankful for. It is our cornucopia of music, and we're already fielding some great requests, some moving songs, some fun songs, some flat-out funny songs. So it's going to be a good time. Please do get your requests in as soon as possible, and certainly no later than Friday, November 22nd, so that Trudy, Aurora, ML, and the gang at TCS will all have time to load them into our musical Thanksgiving oven and serve them up for you, piping hot and fresh. If you go over to Twitter, it's AB Writes. Just hit the Grateful Bounty hashtag. And we'll see. We're going to have some fun with this, I hope. Gremlins and God willing, everything will go off without a hitch. Sometimes the more elements you have, the harder it is, but we're going to do it for you. We certainly will. The Grateful Bounty is sort of a response to the popularity of our Halloween request shows. Folks want to hear more songs, want to frame them in an interesting context, and we are up for the challenge. I am. Indeed I am. And if we have any leftovers, we'll dole them out sparingly throughout December, along with another holiday show in December, I hope. If you have leftover peanut butter cups, it's nice to share. Down. the paperback writer, the Beatles, of course, on the Amy Beth Parker show. Find out more about the Eliza Gordon Mystery Series, both Killing Time and Dead Silent, available for ebook and paperback at the website amybetharkawi.com. Find out why Bookwire calls Dead Silent a fast-paced, fun romp. Fast-paced fun romp, that's what it is. If I could get my own phrase right, it would be nice. I'm trying to work my inner Chris Matthews. I need to work on that. I need more practice. Find out. No, it is a fun read if you like mysteries. I think you'll enjoy. Hey, speaking of mysteries, have you heard about the flap over Murder, She Wrote? Angela Lansbury giving a no vote to the NBC remake of the show. The problem is she doesn't have sour grapes or anything. It's just that the show is not a remake of Murder, She Wrote. It just happens to be a show about an amateur sleuth who solves murders. So why are they calling it Murder, She Wrote? There's no J.B. Fletcher. There's no Cabot Cove, Maine. It's about a hospital administrator played by Octavia Spencer, Oscar winner. I mean, it could be a good show, who writes and self-publishes a mystery novel. Okay, it sounds good. But it isn't Murder, She Wrote, so give it a new name. I mean, I don't understand. They're trying to capitalize on the title so that old fans of the classic show will start watching, but if they see that it has no resemblance to the original, it may turn them off. Oh, it's something else. You have Octavia Spencer. If you have good writing, I think you can pull it off. But it's just not the right thing to call it something. I mean, Ironside, I guess, played off of, I don't know if it was an actual remake or not, but they canned that show after one airing, so I never saw it, so I don't know how true to life it was or close to the original it was. But I would say I would agree with Angela on this one. Murder, She Wrote is a classic. It is its own thing, and this new show could be very good, but it just isn't the same show. Right? No figure. As I always say, broadcasting executives are not always the biggest visionaries in the group, if you know what I mean. Speaking of visionaries and interesting stories, we are coming up on the 50th anniversary of that horrible day in Dallas, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Next Friday, November 22nd, marks the 50th anniversary. Monday, we'll have a special show with investigative journalist Bill Dean. He'll be back with us. Interesting character, the author of that fascinating book, Smooth Criminal, A One-Man American Crime Wave. And while he was researching that book, which deals with a guy who was involved with the mob and the government, he brushed up against a lot of interesting people, officials in the U.S. government, people in Cuba, as well as in the mafia. And he really believes that Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy for the mob. A lot of people believe there was a conspiracy. There are all kinds of books, I think 1,000 books written on this topic. So we're going to delve into it a bit, talk about the assassination, the conspiracy theories, and the myth of JFK. That's coming up on Monday with Bill Dean. And then, of course, we have the Grateful Bounty, as we said, on Monday the 25th. So get your requests and dedications in via the website, amybetharkawi.com, or at Twitter, at abwrites, hashtag Grateful Bounty. So that's what we're doing. I guess I'm sashaying out of here. Thank you again, Trudy, Aurora, and ML at TCS for keeping us moving. Thank you for joining us and being in touch. Always appreciate it. Whatever you do, wherever you go this week and weekend, drive safe, play nice, dream big. Come back and visit us on the Amy Beth Arkawi Show. Take care now. And prayers and courage to the folks in the Philippines. Can't stand up alone. Oh, baby.
Up rules. Who made you judge, Judy, and executioner?